This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Back at you.
And we're back with you. Sports
right
Sunday.
At you.
Sports Radio 810 WHB. A beautiful Sunday morning in Kansas City. Hopefully it's beautiful wherever you're listening. Jed Marshall is running the show today, playing the music. Who is this? I always have to ask.
This is A Tribe Called Quest. That's pretty sad.
Oh my
Brad.
Gosh, that is awful. I will never live that down.
No, you certainly
won't.
We may
have to delete the record on that.
Yeah, let's just restart.
Okay.
bring it back in.
When I go for a walk at night, I'll go to YouTube. If I'm not listening to, if Cody's not on or something, I'll go to YouTube and pick like a channel I want to listen to. Tribe Called Quest is always close to the top of the list.
Just pretty solid.
Pretty solid. And the Muppet videos. Have you seen the Muppet videos where they edit them to make it look like the Muppets are singing A Tribe Called Quest?
Yeah, I saw a Beastie Boys one.
Yes,
I haven't seen
that one too.
Specifically the Tribe Called Quest one.
Yes.
I'll have to look for that.
It's fantastic. It is fantastic. By the way, my name is Brad Porter. We're live in the Rally House Studios, blasting 50,000 watts across Kansas City in the Midwest. Or you can listen on the app, which you can get at 810WHB.com. Got a good show lined up for you today. Jed Marshall has put this together for us. Coming up at 9:25, Howard Richmond from the Golf Course Superintendents Association will join us and talk about the Open, or as some people call it, the British Open. We had this discussion yesterday, but it's the Open, I get it, but some people call it the British Open. Tiger is out. He's at -5 right now. That's what everybody wants to know first. Where's Tiger on the leaderboard? He's still in the top 10. I just clicked the update. He is -5. He is even through the first two holes and tied for 7th. Still at the top of the leaderboard, it's a three-way tie between three Americans, or among three Americans. Between would be two. So among three Americans, Kevin Kisner, Jordan Spieth, and Xander Schauffele, all at -9, even par through the first hole today. Kisner was getting in a little bit of trouble on the second hole. He may lose a shot here. So Howard Richmond at 9:25 to talk about the Open, my favorite tournament because Kansas City's Tom Watson won it 5 times. At 10 o'clock, Dennis Dodd from CBSSports.com will join us and talk college football. I was just reading an interesting story, and I'll bring it up with Dennis. Sports betting and how college football or how college athletics will handle it. The NCAA is still officially opposed because they spent millions of dollars taking this all the way to the Supreme Court, along with Major League Baseball and the NFL. The only one who was solidly on board with this was the NBA. But college sports. So what's the bottom line here, Jed? If I told you the bottom line, the NCAA opposes this, what would you say if I asked you what the bottom line is?
Money.
Money. There are schools already looking to get, quote, their cut. I'm doing air quotes on the radio again, which you can't see. Marshall and West Virginia have asked about getting a cut. The integrity fee, whatever you want to call it, which I think is ridiculous. I think it's like Judge Smales and Caddyshack. You'll get nothing and like it. Casinos and gambling people are smart. They don't part with money easily, but they will part with money if they think it'll help them make more money. So Marshall and West Virginia already looking for a cut. Three other schools are already discussing the issue with pro leagues and how they're addressing getting their cut. Three schools, at least listed in the ESPN.com story. Rutgers, UConn, and Mizzou. Mizzou is investigating how to get their cut from sports gambling. So we'll talk about that, among other things, with Dennis Dodd at 10 o'clock from CBSSports.com. At 10:40, Seth Kaiser, at Real MN Chiefs fan, who does video analysis for The Athletic on the Chiefs, is going to join us. And we'll discuss a little bit about Reggie Ragland. And what Seth has seen on tape from Reggie Ragland, because he came to the Chiefs last year. He's coming off an injury. He was a big first-round pick out of Alabama, linebacker. Seth has some interesting analysis, including how much Reggie Ragland was asked to drop into coverage last year and how well he performed dropping into coverage and being a run stopper. So Seth Kaiser at 10:40. At 11 o'clock, Patrick Brennan, or if you follow him on Twitter, at Painting the Corner, will join us to talk about Royals prospects. Patrick is the founder of the Royals Farm Report. He writes for Royals Review. He writes for Beyond the Box Score. He writes for Dynasty Guru. He writes for everybody. So Patrick Brennan is going to join us. What I can't figure out is how Trevor Oakes continues to stay in AAA, but we'll ask Patrick Brennan about that. A couple of headlines of note. If you're a video gamer, Madden 19 is out. Guess who the top-rated safety in Madden 19 is? And I would be bringing this up for obvious reasons.
Daniel Sorensen.
No.
What?
Not even close.
Probably Eric Berry.
Probably then. Eric Berry. It is Eric Berry, the top-rated safety in Madden 19. Now, these ratings are based on past performance and don't factor in that Eric Berry missed the entire season, save from a couple of plays last year. So that's interesting that he would be the top-rated safety. And these players take these ratings seriously. I mean, like, Tyreek Hill is always looking at the speed rankings. And I don't think he's ever really happy with it.
People need to get over video games.
All these young players play them all the time. You know they're playing with their own teams.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. Yeah. I certainly play with the Chiefs. But yeah, there are ways you can go in. Like, if Tyreek Hill was really that salty, he could create his own Tyreek Hill.
Yes, he could.
Replace him from the roster and give him 99 speed.
So, Eric Berry, the top-rated safety in Madden 19. Kansas City Royals last night. Wow, since the All-Star break, they can't lose. Boys in blue cannot lose. 4-2 over the Twins, which ensures they win the series and sets up a possible sweep today. Rudy Salazar will have baseball tonight at noon. All your Royals pregame coverage, and then he'll have the postgame show as well. Last night, Jacob Junis, after spending 18 days on the DL, made his return to the rotation. He was on a pitch count. He's pretty good. Pretty damn good. Four innings, four hits, one earned run, and that came right out of the bat in the first inning. Six strikeouts. And you know, I always like the pitches versus strikes. Total pitches, 77, 53 strikes. Pretty good. And what did Jacob Junis not do last night? He did not give up a home run. So better stuff there. Maybe the time off, All-Star break, disabled list, all that. Got a chance to freshen his mind, get himself refocused, look at some of the things on video that he was doing when he's giving up those home runs, and avoid those mistakes. So Jacob Junis, outstanding last night. In relief, also outstanding, Brian Flynn. He had to be on red alert 5, knowing he was going to come into the game somewhere in the third or fourth inning. Came in the fifth. How about three innings of scoreless baseball with four strikeouts? Brian Flynn, also pretty darn good. Willie Peralta got the save. Royals gave up that run, as I said. Jacob Junis gave up the run in the first inning. Got two back in the bottom of the first on a Sal Perez two-run bomb, his 14th of the season, driving in Mike Moustakas. In the bottom of the third, Lucas Duda with an RBI single to left, beating the shift again. We talked about it yesterday. The Twins and their manager, Paul Molitor, have tried various shifts against Lucas Duda, including deploying four outfielders. And Lucas Duda keeps beating it. So teams that need a left-handed bat, someone who can play a little first base, Lucas Duda is beating the shift. Young guys can't do it. Scott Boras told us, my guys can't do it. Left-handed batters, it's unfair. Outlaw the shift. They don't teach how to beat the shift in the minor leagues. This is all Scott Boras. We'll learn how to do it. Lucas Duda figured it out. Mike Moustakas figured it out 2 years ago. You can beat the shift if you want to. You may not get as many home runs, which I know is what Scott Boras wants for his clients, to get the dollar figures going up. If you're also looking for a trade value, bottom of the eighth, Whit Merrifield with an insurance RBI single. By the way, Lucas Duda on the stretch, his last five games, six hits and four RBIs. He has been what we call productive. Be a nice trade piece for somebody, especially a National League team. Be a good trade piece. So the Royals win 4-2. They've won two in a row. They've already won the series. A chance to sweep today. Again, Rudy Salazar with baseball tonight at noon. Kansas City Chiefs reporting to camp today. The rookies, the quarterbacks, and selected veterans. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady headed to St. Joe. Stephen St. John's been talking about it all week on the Border Patrol. He can't wait to go up there. I think he's going to be up there for 2 weeks, I think. It's a long time. But he loves St. Joe. He loves the Chiefs. Well, we all love the Chiefs. But they're on their way, training camp. 9 years in St. Joe. They're going to have 90 players in camp. I cannot imagine the coaching and scouting staff having to break down the training camp film every day of 90 players. 90. Now, they don't have to look at everybody that hard. They know who their star veterans are. They don't have to look at a ton of that. The guys below the 53, let's say the 60 through 90. So that's 30 players you got to break down every day. And they'll do it, and they'll look for that diamond in the rough. They'll try to find that guy, that guy that comes out of nowhere. 24 days they'll be up in camp with 15 practices open to the public. Some interesting numbers I found on kcchiefs.com. And maybe it's only interesting to me. Things they have to take up there. How many footballs do you think you have to take up for training camp? Rough guess.
700.
Three.
It's overshot a little bit. It's 300. Mm-hmm. I was still surprised. They got the practice footballs, and they also have what they call chip footballs. They have GPS chips in some of their footballs. I don't know what they would use that for. I'll have to ask Alan Wright, the equipment manager, who's been there like almost 40 years. Maybe it's like on field goals, they track the path or something. Maybe it's the quarterbacks, when they throw, they track the speed and trajectory or something.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of.
That's a story for you. Local TV stations. Were I still at Metro Sports, that would be a story I would be interested in, but I don't know if they're going to cover them this year at training camp. We'll see. There's a story. The chip footballs. That would be interesting to me. How many pairs of shoes do they pack for training camp? 90 players. And I'll just give you this. Alan Wright said, we always want to overshoot because you can have extras and that's great, but if you don't have enough, that's bad.
2,700 shoes.
No, overshot again. That's a good guess.
Well, I'd be good on the equipment staff because
yes.
I'd be like, just bring more.
Just bring 2,000 pairs of cleats. 900 pairs of shoes is what the Chiefs are taking.
See, that seems low for 90 guys.
Yeah, they do have blowouts. I remember one year.
Dexter McCluster.
He actually showed us his shoes. He said, I blew out my shoes. I don't know how you, I guess you turn too fast, or there's no such thing as turning too fast, but if your shoes can't hold up, you're turning fast.
That was Run DMC's finest moment, arguably in
yes.
Chiefs history. He had a punt return for a TD. I don't
yeah.
want to slight him.
Also, gum. I didn't know gum was such a big deal for NFL players because you have a mouthpiece in. I'm sure maybe the coaches are big into chewing gum. I know they don't like you. The groundskeepers don't want you to throw your wads of gum on the grass or the turf because that's a mess for them. How many pieces of gum? You can overshoot on this one real easy, but and be close.
5,000.
Nailed it.
Yeah. All right, I'm going home.
5,000 pieces
take over.
Of gum going to Chiefs training camp. Again, these numbers may be only of interest to me, but I read it, so whatever. How many years of Chiefs football is this? What year will this be?
This is an unfair question. Do the Texans count or just Chiefs football?
It would have to be just Chiefs, I believe.
God, I'm going to look like a doofus.
If you asked me straight out, I would not have been able to
tell
you.
How many years of Chiefs football?
Let's put it this way.
54.
Let's put it this way. Next year will be a landmark year.
49 then.
59.
No, 59.
Next
I don't know. I was
60.
In the ballpark.
Yeah.
I'm bad at math. It doesn't matter.
Yep, absolutely. All right, a couple of headlines from around the sports world that I just kind of picked out here and there. That what's happened to teams after they've gone to the World Series? All right, we know where the Royals are. What's happened to the Mets since they got their ass kicked by the Royals? I remember Frank Thomas after that Game 5 sitting on the set at, I believe it was Fox, saying, oh, the Mets blew this series. They gave it away. No, the Mets got beat four games to one. They didn't give up anything. The Royals went out there and kicked their ass. So Matt Harvey, no longer with the team, right? He's completely fallen off the map. Noah Syndergaard's always hurt. Jacob DeGrom's been okay. Yoenis Cespedes said that he needed surgery on his heels, and the Mets manager said, oh, well, I didn't know that. When asked by the media about the surgery, he said, I didn't know. So maybe Cespedes is giving away information he shouldn't. So he's hurt. He could be out for 8 to 10 months. Now they've traded their closer. Juris Familia going to the Oakland A's for a pitching prospect in AAA and an infielding prospect. So the A's are, I thought they might be sellers. I mean, this is how they've done it for 20 years. Moneyball. We're going to sell if we're not close. So the A's trade for an ace closer. They already have Blake Trianon, who went to the All-Star game, the Wichita kid. They had to give the Mets $1 million in international signing money and the two players. I looked it up. Because if the A's, this is a sign you're going for it, right? If you're trading for a closer, trading for a bullpen arm.
Yeah, the A's are right there, though.
Yeah. So
I mean, they're going to catch Seattle.
They're 9 games back in the AL West, 3 games out of the wild card.
Mm-hmm.
They're trailing the Yankees, who they're not going to catch, and they're trailing the Mariners by those 3 games. You think they can catch the Mariners?
I do, seeing as how the Mariners were like 9 games up a week and a half ago.
Right. And they're kind of imploding.
Rudy yells, they're frauds.
The Mariners have been frauds for a long time.
Since about 2001 when they won 119 games or whatever.
Right. So Billy Bean is going for it, being 3 games out. I'm sure he's done the math and the analytics, and their guys have looked at it. And they've looked at the Mariners, and the Mariners may get Cano back, but he can't play in the playoffs. Also in Major League Baseball last night, Josh Hader, Milwaukee Brewers. After his old tweets were exposed from when he said he was 17 years old, some were racist, some were homophobic. He had a closed-door clubhouse meeting with the team, had a tearful apology. Some of his teammates have supported him. Some have said, we accept his apology, but it's wait and see because you still have to prove yourself. So last night he comes out of the bullpen in Milwaukee, gets to the mound, and gets a standing ovation from the Milwaukee crowd. Standing ovation. When Ryan Braun got his standing ovation coming back from the steroid suspension, I could see that a little bit. Still wasn't, didn't make me feel all warm and happy inside, especially since he lied and he trashed those reporters and investigators in Major League Baseball and then admitted he lied about everything. But Josh Hader, standing ovation. I get supporting your guy, okay? I get it. The Royals have had players who have had missteps. Danny Duffy last year. Jorge Bonifacio this year, the 80-game suspension, but he has not been a long-term Royal. There's no, I don't know if anybody has any warm and fuzzies over Jorge Bonifacio other than expecting him to hit well.
J-Bone? He's revered.
Yeah. I saw a lot of Bonifacio t-shirt jerseys down at P&L the other night.
I don't know if you're joking.
I am joking. Absolutely joking. But Josh Hader, I don't think we need to be giving a standing ovation for that. He made his mistakes. He said things he shouldn't have said. And it was when he was 17 years old. I get that. His teammates have to figure out how to deal with him. His teammates will decide whether or not they will support him or not, or talk to him or not, ignore him or not. That's in the clubhouse. But do the fans really need to give him a standing ovation because he came back out on the mound? No! We don't need to give a standing ovation for that. Standing ovations are reserved for throwing 8 shutout innings. Standing ovations are reserved for a game-winning home run or a walk-off. Standing ovations are for guys who come back after serious injuries or serious battles. Maybe a guy comes back from a former team like Lorenzo Cain when the Brewers came to Kansas City. Standing ovation, yes, that is appropriate. A standing ovation for this? No, sir. No, ma'am. This is not standing ovation worthy. That's embarrassing. I've always kind of said, and now I'm going to totally go back, you don't tell the fans. Never tell the fans they can't boo. Never tell the fans what they can't do. They paid for the tickets. Standing ovation for that guy? No. If you want to forgive him, great. I'm all about forgiveness. I'm all about second chances. We're all about that. But a standing ovation? Totally unnecessary. Am I over the top here, Jed?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a really terrible look for the entire city of Milwaukee. Not to condemn the whole city, but I don't know. What does Miller Park hold? 38,000?
Whatever Bud Selig stole from the taxpayers.
Wow, that's at Brad K. Porter.
Yes.
But seriously, if 38,000, I mean, I don't know
if it was the whole crowd, but it was a good number.
If we were
and
out
at the
K. And
then people were looking around like, should I give him an ovation? Okay, I guess we're all doing it.
I understand the mob mentality and how people tend to be lemmings, and that if one person was standing to be like, hey, you know what, this is our guy, I get it, you're a fan. But, man, I certainly wouldn't have jumped on that train if someone, if there was a royal and these, like,
right.
It's a much different issue. But what's happened with Whit Merrifield is not the same thing.
Right.
But there were a few tweets that were exposed of him. I'm certainly not being like, all right, Whit, yeah.
Right.
You know, I'll just sit there and be, if he gets a hit, I'd certainly cheer. But I don't think that a standing ovation, I get supporting your guy.
Right.
There's no time or place for that for me.
And I don't, look, I'm also of the camp that somebody shouldn't be hounded and shamed for the rest of their lives for saying things that they shouldn't have said. Like some guy, the guy who, I don't know, some movie producer just got fired from his job for things he tweeted. I didn't see what the story was about. I'm not part of the mob that says you lose your job or you get hounded for the rest of your life or let's go to the guy's house with pitchforks. I'm just saying this does not deserve a standing ovation, okay? Keep your job. Earn back the respect of your teammates. Earn back the respect of your league. But not a standing ovation. No way. All right. Soapbox. I'm going to step down off the soapbox for a second. One other note. Tim Tebow is on the disabled list. Hurt his hand, and now he's going to see a hand specialist. Tim Tebow is having an okay season at AA. He's an all-star. Made the all-star team. Numbers, hitting .273, 6 home runs, 36 RBIs. But this
screams all-star.
Yes, and this merits a headline on ESPN.com. The fact that Tim Tebow is hurt and needs to go see a specialist.
That's awful. Too bad for Tim Tebow.
Good gravy. If Vladimir Guerrero Jr. had gotten hurt, okay, that's a headline. Tim Tebow?
Well, he's the starting quarterback at Florida.
That's right.
Oh, wait.
That was
12 years ago.
He struck out a team-high 103 times in 83 games.
All-star numbers.
All-star. I have nothing against Tim Tebow. I just not sure why that's a headline, but I know the world we live in.
Tebow mania. It's still a thing. I don't know how, but it's still a damn thing.
It is. Selling shirts. Selling jerseys. Selling tickets. Would you buy a ticket to go see if Tim Tebow came to, let's say he was in AAA and had a game in Omaha. Would you drive up there just to see Tim Tebow?
Hell no.
Okay. Do you have friends who live in Omaha?
No.
Okay.
I mean, even if I did, if I had a free place to stay and a free ticket, no. I'd
not
be like,
just
dude,
based
I'm,
on Tim Tebow.
I'm good. I don't need to see Tim Tebow. That guy sucks.
One other note, a lighter note. How about this? Since we're coming up on a break, right? Yep. One other note, and this has nothing to do with sports, but it's one of those movies that might have been, it might be bad, but I have to watch it every time it's on. On this date in 1987, Mark Harmon, starring in the movie Summer School, was released. Oh, yeah. It was so bad it was good. It was funny.
Never even heard of this
Kirstie
movie.
Kirstie Alley's in it. Courtney Thorne Smith is in it, who went on to Melrose Place. Carl Reiner directed it, for crying out loud.
Oh, then it must be gold.
One of the funniest guys who ever lived. So I just, we'll end on a high note there. We'll end the kind of the headline segment and the whole and the soapbox. We'll end on a good note. Summer School came out, 1987. Jed Marshall doesn't know what movie I'm talking about. All right, on that note, we will take a time out. We're going to talk some golf. The Open, or as some folks call it, the British Open. Howard Richman from the Golf Course Superintendents Association. He will answer the question if it's okay to call it the British Open. But Tom Watson's won it 5 times. The final round is today. Tiger Woods is in the hunt. He'll need magic. He is tied for, where did he go? Oh, he's tied for third now. Tiger Woods is up to third at -6. He's 1 under on the day through 4 holes. Tiger Woods in 6th. He's 3 back of the leaders.
Yeah, he just rolled in a birdie a couple of minutes ago. He's looking pretty solid. The conditions look like it's going to be, you know, good for scoring again today.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
All right, Tiger is in the hunt. We'll talk about it with Howard Richman. That is coming up next. You're listening to Sports Sunday. Jed Marshall is running the show. My name is Brad Porter. We're live in the Rally House studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. Blasting out 50,000 watts. Also listen on the app, which you can get at 810WHB.com. Jed Marshall is running the show today. My name is Brad Porter, and we're going to talk a little golf right now and welcome back one of our favorite guests. Howard Richmond joins us. Howard is the associate editor for GCM Magazine for the Golf Course Superintendents Association. Also was at the Star for many years and covered golf from 95 to 2002. Howard, how are you on this final round Sunday for the Open?
Well, I'm loving it, Brad, but I'm a little sideways with you. Little birdie told me that you went to Waldo Pizza the other day without me. I mean,
oh,
I would camp out that I would camp out the night before to hit that salad bar the next day. And then Hall & Oates. I mean, you didn't ask me to go. I mean, I can't go for that. No can do, Brad Porter.
Well played, Howard Richmond. Well played, sir. Hall & Oates was absolutely spectacular. It was awesome.
I bet it was. I'm jealous of you. I haven't seen I've loved them for years and never seen them. I should have gone the other night.
I never have, but I'm kind of getting to that age and where I see these bands that are significantly older and kind of think, I may never get this chance again. I mean, I missed my chance years ago to see the Beastie Boys, one of my all-time favorite bands. And I don't know if you're a Beastie Boys fan, but I missed my chance before MCA passed away. But I, you know, Hall & Oates, we had some friends who got tickets. We're like, absolutely. Train opened, and I'm not the biggest Train fan in the world, but they were great. But Hall & Oates, I mean, these guys are 70 years old, and they're out there, and their band is older, and they just rocked it for 2 hours. It was awesome.
I bet. Well, good for you. I'm glad you got to see it.
Absolutely. I felt bad for Oates, though, because he's overlooked, and he doesn't sing very much, and so the cameras are always on Daryl Hall, but it is what it is. John Oates knows his role. So
yeah, I'm sure they're still doing fairly well even at that age.
Yes,
so.
Absolutely. We're talking with Howard Richmond from the Golf Course Superintendents Association about the Open. And Howard, settle a little dispute that Jed Marshall and I are having. We've had it for 2 days now. I know it's called the Open. I realize that. I know that. But some folks refer to it as the British Open so that other people know what we're talking about. Is it okay to refer to it as the British Open?
My advice is to contact Tom Watson and
yes!
ask him.
Just get him on the horn. I'm sure you can get him on the horn anytime.
Well, whatever I wrote about it back in the day, I always called it the British Open. I know it's back and forth. Yeah, and yeah, it's just whatever floats your boat. I mean, you can say that it doesn't take as much breath to say the Open Championship. So
right.
Whatever.
Right. Well, if I say the Open just in a standard group of people, some people may say the Open. What are you talking about? But if I say the
right.
British Open, we all know what we're talking about. So
exactly.
So we're good either way. Speaking of Tom Watson, this is why the Open or the British Open is my favorite tournament. One, it's the home of golf. It's where golf was invented, and it's so historical. And these courses are 150 years old in some cases. And I like the fact that it rotates around to 11, 12, 13 different places. And it's not. It doesn't look picture perfect like the Masters. You know, they don't have the flowers and the birds and the trees. It's pretty plain Jane, but it's a great test. And because of Tom Watson's history, I just love this tournament.
Oh, totally, especially for Kansas Cityans that love golf and follow it. I mean, he won. That was his first British Open. I mean, think about that.
At Carnoustie?
Yeah. I mean, that's to win your very first British Open, and then he fell in love with it and owned it for quite a while. So, yeah, it's cool. And it's, the only thing I don't like about it, Brad, is getting up at, 3 in the morning
right.
on Thursday, Friday to watch it. And then it ends so abruptly on Sunday, it's like, I should have 4 or 5 more hours of golf to watch.
Right.
I kind of wish it could go on longer. That's, the time difference. So, but yeah, it's terrific.
Yeah, you'd have, it's over like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then you're like, that's it.
Exactly. It makes me have to go mow the lawn or do some kind of errands. I don't know.
Let me ask you this. This may be a little unfair, but I'll give you just a little trivia test. I didn't know this. I had to look it up. So, in all fairness, I did not know this, but I looked up all the sites where Tom Watson won the Open. Do you know the 5 sites where Tom Watson won the Open?
Well, I know he did not win at St. Andrews.
Correct.
Turnberry,
yes.
Obviously, 77, Duel in the Sun. Royal yep. Birkdale?
Yes, that was his last one in 83.
Carnoustie. Oh, boy. Yeah, I should know these, but I'm drawing a blank.
Mirafield in 1980 and Royal Troon in 82.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And he had chances to win a few others,
yes,
including the one back in, I didn't want to go there anymore.
He had a chance when he was 59 years old.
I know.
I felt so bad for him watching that.
I know.
Okay, so today's action is underway. It's been underway for several hours now, and I'm just checking the leaderboard here. Still at the top, Jordan Spieth and Xander Schauffele at 9-under, even for the day through three holes. Kevin Kisner had a slip-up. He's dropped three shots in his first three holes. He hit it way out of bounds. Francisco Molinari is in there. And, of course, Howard, we always have to talk about Tiger Woods. This time, it is absolutely justified. He is tied for third, 6-under. He's 1-under on the day through four holes and has looked terrific.
Totally agree. I mean, we've seen this coming, and he stayed healthy. And his play yesterday, I mean, he was just unbelievable. And there's something about him, Brad. He just seems to have a calmness about him. Even when he hit a kind of a bad shot, didn't get that typical Tiger reaction that I saw him. It was yesterday or the day before. So he kind of looks like he knows he had a number in mind and what he has to do, and kind of doing the same thing today that he did yesterday, kind of started par, 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 and then birdied, and which he did on the previous hole just a second ago. I think he's going to par the next hole maybe. But anyway, yeah, he's got his act together, and it's just a matter if this was a neat day because I enjoyed this. People were clamoring to see Tiger in a major again in contention. And here you got guys like Spieth, who's won majors, and Schauffele, who I really like, who's a bulldog, and I think he's going to win one at some point, if not today. And then behind him, he's got guys like Kuchar and Fleetwood and Rory. So kind of a combination of younger players, older players, experienced guys who've won majors around him. I mean, how neat is that? I mean, you couldn't get a better day than this on this leaderboard.
Absolutely. As you said, you got young guns, you got the old guys who have won it before, guys looking for their first championship. And I'll just give you an update. Tommy Fleetwood, who you mentioned, has dropped two strokes today, so he's at -3, and that's going to put him in a really bad spot. I'm also fascinated because, as we said, Tom Watson had a chance at age 59 to win and lost in a playoff, and I was sad about that. And Stuart Sink is such a great guy. I couldn't be mad at him. But I'm fascinated watching Bernhard Langer every year. The man is 60 years old, and he's out there playing with these 20-year-olds, and he's better than some. I mean, the top two players in the world did not make the cut, Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas. And here's 60-year-old Bernhard Langer out there just swinging it with the kids.
Right. Keeps himself, it looks like, in great condition, has a great mindset, has his, all his, he's very together. He's a guy, I don't know if I've ever seen him get upset. So, and just a lot of great experience. So, sure, I'm not stunned to see something like that. And, need to see the older guys playing so well. And a lot of older players are playing better into their later years.
You're listening to Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jed Marshall is running the show. My name is Brad Porter. We're talking with Howard Richman, Associate Editor for GCM Magazine for the Golf Course Superintendents Association, longtime golf writer for the Kansas City Star before that. Howard, there's one thing that does frustrate me when I watch some of the professional golfers. Jordan Spieth seems like a nice enough guy, but watching him play is utterly frustrating because he walks up to his ball, he steps back, he walks up to the ball, he takes six practice swings, goes back again, talks to his caddy, back to the ball, six more practice swings. I mean, this is Sergio-esque in how long he takes to hit a ball. And when he gets frustrated, he screams, and I get that. And when he does something great, he celebrates, and I get that. And I like the kid. I'm not bagging on the kid. But, man, it's frustrating sometimes watching him play.
Well, it can make for a longer round, obviously, and some guys are like that. They'll stand and, waggle over the ball and things like that. It's kind of the anti-Tom Watson who, pretty much, let's go.
Right.
Let's play. Let's get
right.
It done. So, I don't know. You want to see the game move a little quicker, and they've kind of been promoting that the last several years to
right.
get people out and play more and speed it up. But, you watch these guys, they're playing for a lot of money, too. So, I guess I understand, what are you going to do?
Right. Well, the fact that the top two players in the world missed the cut, as I said, in Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas, you would think for most tournaments that would be a disaster in terms of attendance or TV ratings or things like that. But these majors, and in particular the Open, seem impervious to top players not being there. It's still going to be a great tournament, and we're still going to be mesmerized by the action today in the final round.
And it helps a ton with Tiger in the
yes,
mix. Obviously,
absolutely.
He just creates a buzz at every turn. So that's fantastic. Yeah, I mean, it's the best leaderboard we've had in a while. So, and I was stunned. You mentioned Dustin Johnson. I figured firm and hard, and the way he hits the ball long, if he kind of hit it straight, this would be really good for him. But no, I guess it didn't. But he's had a pretty good run of majors. So, yeah, that's the way it goes. I mean, you got to be on that week, and sometimes these guys aren't.
Well, in particular, you know, these guys at the top of the leaderboard can all bomb it with a driver like nobody's business, but it seems like in particular, the longest bombers really have trouble with this course. Is that an accurate, am I reading that correctly?
No, I think you are. I mean, it's, you know, what can you say? It's a British Open. You kind of know what you've got coming in, that it's, you got to kind of keep the ball low and with all the junk, the gunch, you know, on both sides of it, and these bunkers and these burns. I mean, I think you just have to keep that mindset. Just keep it straight, you know, keep it in the middle, and you're going to be okay. And it's, you know, kind of like guys like Jordan Spieth. He's had a little bit of trouble, but for the most part, he's done what he needed to do. I think he's learned how to play this, and, I don't know if he's going to win today or not, but I think he's got at least another British Open or two down the road for him. He's just that good.
We're talking with Howard Richmond, who's the associate editor of GCM Magazine for the Golf Course Superintendents Association, long time with the Kansas City Star before that. And we're talking about the Open, or the British Open, that's going on right now with Jordan Spieth and Xander Schauffele at the top of the leaderboard, and Tiger tied for third, just three shots back. Howard, I know you've played courses all over the place, all kinds of different courses. Have you played one of the British Open courses that are in the roto, or the rotation, so to speak?
You know what? I've never gone over there, Brad. Even in the days covering the Star, we kind of stopped going over there when Tom Watson got older. So never got a chance to go over there, and I've never been over there for vacation and everything. But I would love to.
I know some people.
It would be fantastic. I mean, to play the old course would be kind of a dream.
Absolutely. And I know people. I have friends of mine who have gone over there to play, and they're a little bit more financially advantaged than I am, and they can get to these places. But you know, they do these great stories, like in particular here in Carnoustie this week, and I thought David Faraday's done a great job going around town and seeing different people in the shops and things like that. And this is a town of 11,000 people. And when I watch, you know, in particular this tournament or some of the other British Opens, these seem like accessible places for average people. It doesn't have the hoity-toity nature, and I don't want to slam the Masters, but you get that feeling. Some people are not welcome. But these courses in Carnoustie, it seems like they're inviting to the average person.
It would be fantastic just to visit the towns. I mean, like you said, some of the stories that Faraday was been showing, including the one about Frank Sinatra going to Carnoustie.
I saw that.
And did you see that? I watched Hogan and was not really welcome there.
No.
A big Frank. I thought that was interesting. But yeah, I mean, you know, to go see where the Beatles started out. I mean, that'd probably be the time I'd want to go when the British Open's there, to kind of see Liverpool and make that visit. And yeah, I mean, it's just the history. It's not just the golf course. It's the history of these small towns that are so charming. And I think that's what Tom Watson fell in love with. So that'd be a great trip for anyone. I'm sure a lot of people that love golf have been over there and made that pilgrimage, and not just in, you know, there over in Ireland also, and the British Open, all the British Open roto courses. So they all have a little something to offer, and yeah, be a great trip.
All right, we're talking with Howard Richmond about the Open, or the British Open, going on today. Right now, two players tied atop, Jordan Spieth and Xander Schauffele at 9-under. Both are even through three, and then a quartet of players three shots back: Francisco Molinari, Kevin Chappell, Kevin Kisner, and Tiger Woods. Three shots back is hard to overcome, especially with the guys in front of Tiger Woods. But, you know, it's an Open, and they're only separated by a couple of holes. This is doable for Tiger Woods. If anybody has a slip-up, this is doable. And Tiger said last night after his round, "I'm going to have to hunt some birdies today." This is in play right now.
I totally agree. I think finishing strong is going to be the most challenging part. The last four or five holes are really going to be difficult, and Spieth really played well on those yesterday. So somebody's going to have to play steady here in the middle part of the round, and then just really turn it on at the end. And, you know, maybe that burn will come in to play like it did in 1999
right,
for John Vandeveld. And I think it's still, I think there's still five, six guys there that have a chance to win this. So it's going to be intriguing to play. Anybody who's five, minus five now, four or five, I think they still have a shot. It's open.
You know, I felt so bad the other day for Jean Vandeveld. And look, you don't feel bad for guys who have made millions of dollars playing a game, but he's doing the European broadcast, and they showed his debacle from Carnoustie from, is it 20 years ago now?
It was in 99.
Oh, my gosh. And so they showed his debacle, and then they show him standing on the course doing his reporting, and it looked like somebody from the NBC crew came over and said, hey, we're showing what happened, and he kind of turned around and gave him a look. And I feel bad for him because that's all he's known for. But he got into a playoff. He had a chance to win. It wasn't like, it wasn't like he was awful. He just made a very bad decision.
Yeah, that one hole really cost him, didn't it? But otherwise, he played really terrific that whole week, and just one kind of blow up. To Curtis Strange, what did he say? It's the stupidest thing he'd ever seen before.
Right.
And but he's a trooper. I watched that show the other night. I did an hour special on that, and he's, I think he's at peace with it. He understands, and it's passed, and what a great attitude. I mean, he's sure really inside. He's still probably dying over it, but yeah, one of the most memorable ends to a championship that nobody really remembers what happened in the playoff when Paul Laurie won, who had a great round. I think he shot a 67 that day to get in the playoff. So it's quite a memorable.
If your worst athletic achievement also included the fact you went to a playoff in a major championship, that's not awful. All right, two final things, and I'll let you go, Howard. We're talking with Howard Richman from the Golf Course Superintendents Association, also rode a long time for the Kansas City Star before that. Two questions for you before I let you go. One, a prediction, who will win the Open? And number two, who would you like to see win the Open?
Well,
I set you up.
Kind of a tough question. Yeah. Well, my gut coming into the day was Shoffley. I kind of like him. He's young. I know this is really his first time in this kind of a situation, but there's something about him that I really liked in the last year or so watching him play. So he's kind of my favorite coming in. I don't know. Who I'd like to see win. I kind of would like to see Matt Kuchar win. Here's a guy who's been going at it, blood, sweat, and tears for a long time, too. Just one of the greatest guys out there. Why not? He's been in contention. He was in contention in the British last year. If I had to pick somebody who it'd be really neat to see, it'd be him. Because I remember when he came out, back in 98, and big grin and smile on his face. Just the nicest kid. Doesn't seem like he's changed. So, we'll see.
I can't imagine if he would walk out there to get the claret jug and the crowd going, Cooch! That would be awesome.
Yeah, you think you'll hear that? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Howard, I always appreciate your time. We love to bring you on for these big golf, talk about what's going on currently and a little bit of history. And I figured since Tom Watson's won it five times, it'd be a great tie-in. I always appreciate your time, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the final round of the Open today.
Well, thanks for having me, Brad. And, hey, if Loverboy, Bananarama, or Culture Club come to town, we'll go.
I'll pass on Culture Club, but the other two, definitely. I'm down for that.
Thanks, Brad.
Hey, Howard, thank you very much. Appreciate that. That is Howard Richman from the Golf Course Superintendents Association, wrote about golf for a long time for the Kansas City Star, and always gives us a good perspective on these major events in golf. And love talking to him about the Open, something that Tom Watson, Kansas City's own, has won five times. All right, we'll take a quick timeout, and maybe we'll touch on that a little bit, maybe get Jed's predictions on that. Rudy, if he has a prediction. This is Sports Sunday. Jed Marshall is running the show. My name is Brad Porter, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Oh, man. Oh, man. I'm just reacting to what I see. Wait a few seconds because you can't do live play-by-play on radio. You don't own the event. So we're all in the studio. Jed Marshall is here. Rudy Salazar is here. My name is Brad Porter. Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB, live in the Rally House studios, watching the Open, the British Open. And Tiger Woods has just dropped another birdie, and he is now two shots back of the leaders. Wow! Man alive! Man alive.
Well, even Rudy, who isn't a huge golf guy, we were talking during the break, and it's the Tiger effect. Even if you don't like golf,
right?
And it's a major, what a perfect Sunday event unfolding.
Let's say you're down at the Well having brunch this morning. They've got, what, 95 TVs down there? I was there a couple of weeks ago. If you're not really a golf fan, you're probably not paying attention to it. But if Tiger's on the screen, a lot more people. NBC has to be just off the charts, falling out of their chairs about having Tiger two shots off the lead at the Open.
Solid lead-in for that rugby.
Is it the sevens rugby that was on yesterday?
Yes. I think it's on again today.
Yeah. Well, Howard Richman does a great job of talking about golf, and especially the big events, and you know the Open that Tom Watson won five times. So I'll ask you guys what I asked Howard. Who do you think is going to win versus who do you want to see win today? Tiger's two shots back.
I want Tommy Fleetwood to win.
He's slipping.
I know. it'd be cool to see Tiger win just because he's such a polarizing guy, but I think he is really good for the game. It's like anything. Players who might be beyond their prime, but at one time were the greatest on the planet, you can still see them recapture some of the magic, and we're certainly seeing at least, I don't know, early signs of that today from Tiger. So I guess I'd kind of like to see him win. Spieth, though,
man,
unless he has a Masters meltdown, he's going to be tough just sitting out in front and having, I think he's, two holes in front. So just being able to watch and see what Tiger does.
And Jordan Spieth and Xander Schauffele at 9-under.
Xander Schauffele's falling apart.
Yes.
That guy's out. Do you see that last shot?
I did not. Oh, he's in the pot. He's in a pot bunker.
Yeah, he was
he?
The guy who went directly into that 8-foot bunker.
Okay, I'm seeing it now.
I mean,
he just got it. He's like got it like 2 inches out of the bunker.
Yeah, whatever. I
so
think
Tiger's
pretty much done though.
Tiger's about to be. Well, he's in sole possession of second place right now at 7-under, two shots back with Molinari. I saw him have a bad shot earlier. He was in a bunker. So Tiger Woods. So you want to see Tiger win. Who do you think will win, though?
I think Jordan Spieth will probably end up holding off.
Okay. I also think Jordan Spieth probably ends up winning this again. Tiger would be a great story because that would put him one away from tying Jack Nicklaus.
No,
it?
He's at 14.
Oh, 18. I'm doing the math wrong. He'd be three away, so still a long way to go. Kuchar would be great. Matt Kuchar.
Yeah, Matt Kuchar seems like a likable guy.
He's a really good dude. Kevin Kisner, I like just because I follow his caddy on Twitter. He's funny. Tony Finau is probably too far back, but he seems like a good dude. He's too far back, though. He's six shots back. Rudy, do you have a prediction? Yeah, I know you're rooting for Tiger, right?
Tiger's winning.
Tiger's going to win.
Tiger's going to win. Okay.
It's his day.
It's his day. If you had...
Rudy has a wager. Well, he doesn't directly have a wager, but there is money involved in Rudy.
This is his John Daly day. Like, he recaptures it for one day. He may never win a major again, but this is his he recaptures it one more time.
It's like, Daly, how many years between the PGA Championship and then the Open was it? It was a long time.
Nah. John Daly. We don't need to go down that rabbit hole, Brad.
Of all the guys who have multiple majors, John Daly is one of them. Pretty exclusive club. If you had and we're going to have more things to talk about here over the next 2 hours. We're going to talk college football. We're going to talk Chiefs football. We're going to talk Royals prospects with Patrick Brennan. That'll be in the 11 o'clock hour. If you had the financial means, Jed, I know you play golf sometimes. Is going to one of these courses over in Scotland, or would that be on your bucket list of things to do?
Absolutely. I'd love to go even to like Ireland or Scotland and just check out the courses. I mean, I've been fortunate enough to play Lionsgate a handful of times, and I suck at links golf. But yeah, it's where the game began. And I know this is probably pretty nerdy, but if you really appreciate the game, man, you have to love what's going on this Sunday. It's the second straight Sunday, though, that there's been really compelling stuff, and we're having to do a show, so
we're
it makes it a lot more difficult.
Did I just see Jordan Spieth blow a par putt?
You did. That was
so
why I was clapping back.
So Tiger is two shots back, and Schauffele is going to lose, right? He's going to lose on this hole. He's going to lose at least one. Tiger's going to be one shot back here in a minute, right? He's two shots back now at 7-under. Tiger Woods is about to be one shot back in the final round at the Open. I'm stunned. I'm not surprised. That sounds dumb. I'm stunned, but I'm not surprised. He's been working his way back to get healthy. I understand that. And he's been playing okay. He's had top 10s and top 15s and top 20s this year. It's not like he's awful. It's not like he's missing cuts left and right. So it shouldn't be a total surprise. And at a course like this, where you don't have to bomb it, but it, you know, you can let it roll for a while, I totally get it. So Tiger is one. Well, he could be about to be one shot back at the Open. We'll update you after the timeout. Still to come in the next hour, Dennis Dodd from CBSSports.com. We'll talk about college football, including some schools now investigating the possibility of how to get their cut of sports gambling. That's not all we're going to talk about, but that'll be one of the topics I'll throw out to Dennis. At 10:40, Seth Kizer, at Real MN Chiefs Fan, video analysis for The Athletic, is going to join us. We'll talk about the Chiefs. We'll talk about Reggie Ragland in year two. And at 11 o'clock, Patrick Brennan, founder of the Royals Farm Report, writes for Royals Review and a bunch of other publications, will talk to us about some of the Royals prospects. So all that's still to come. 2 hours to go. This is Sports Sunday. Jed Marshall is running the show. My name is Brad Porter. We're live in the Rally House studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.